Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Today we'll take a trip to AAA Sacramento and catch up on the progress of the Rivercats hitters with hitting coach Damon Miner and outfielder Austin Slater. We'll also hear from play-by-play announcer Johnny Doskow and Derek Rodriguez, the pitcher who was at Sacramento and, of course, now is with the San Francisco Giants. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. We'll start our Rivercats interviews with somebody who is now a member of the San Francisco Giants. Derek Rodriguez was putting up great numbers on the mound at AAA Sacramento, and the son of Hall of Famer Pudge Rodriguez was our guest recently in Sacramento. Here was that conversation. Derek, man, this has been a great start to your season. I was talking to you about how I saw you strike out 11 batters in your last start here at Raley Field. So what's been really working well for you this year?
I think just throwing a lot of strikes, you know, establishing the strike zone, you know, commanding the inside pitch, and, you know, just going after guys. I know in this league there's a lot of big leaguers, you know, or the guys that have spent a lot of years in the big league. So, you know, just go after them and see what happens. If they get themselves out, they get themselves out. So.
Do you allow yourself to think about how the Giants maybe can use another pitcher at times? I mean, I know they've had Beedy go up there, and right now, you know, they've got Suarez, who's up in the major leagues. But do you think about, hey, if I pitch well enough, I might get a chance?
I mean, that's always in the back of your mind, but you always got to, you know, concentrate on what you got to hand here. You know, try and win games for the team that you're on right now, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. Up there, you know, there's so many things could happen in one day. So one day I could be here, and then I could be in San Francisco in 2 days' time. So, you know, just concentrate on what you're doing here at the moment and take it from there.
You were a position player who turned into a pitcher. How'd that all work out? What happened on the hitting side? And what did you learn maybe from being a hitter that you took into being a pitcher and that mental part of it?
Not a lot happened on the hitting side. That's why I'm a pitcher now. So, it was weird. I mean, it was fun 3 years. You know, I was always a position player growing up. And, you know, it was these guys, you get a bunch of those young guys throwing 100, don't know where the ball's going. So I struggled a little bit on that. And then, you know, I played 3 years, and then off season, winter ball, the Twins called me and they said they wanted to switch me over. And I mean, I was fine with that. And everything took off from there. I had a good first year out of the bullpen, and then they put me in as a starter the following year, and then I've been a starter ever since.
So you must have been both, though, in high school, right? Weren't you a pitcher and a position player?
I pitched seven innings in my whole high school career. Yeah, that's all I've pitched, seven innings before I became a professional pitcher.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, you must have had a crash course in how to be a pitcher. I mean, just the mechanics of everything and, you know, trying to figure out how to manipulate the baseball, you know, all the different pitches that you're throwing now.
Yeah. No, when I first became a pitcher, you know, luckily I had a good pitching coach in winter ball, the team I was playing in, you know, and Alex Cruz, and he's been with me. I still hang out with him during the off season, and he's the one that gets me in shape and ready for the season. So, I mean, he's been really my pitching coach throughout the 5 years I've been playing. So, but, you know, the first, I couldn't throw any off speed until like 3 years ago, to be honest with you. So, you know, but now I'm starting to get, you know, feel for a lot more pitches. So that feels good.
Now, growing up, you're growing up in clubhouses, I would think, with your Hall of Fame catcher dad, Pudge Rodriguez. So were there a lot of friendships developed with some of these players that he was teammates with and some of the kids as well that you still keep in touch with?
I mean, I know a lot of guys that, you know, that made it to pro ball that were, you know, sons of players and stuff like that. And, you know, I used to hang out a lot with the Rangers with Palmeiro. Or Rafi's sons, Patrick and Preston. Preston, I think, is with the Orioles now, and Patrick's playing with his dad in indie ball. So, I mean, that's pretty cool. But I mean, I knew a lot of players. Juan, you know, Rusty. I knew Rusty. All those old school guys with the Rangers. But it was fun growing up in the clubhouse.
So you probably knew at a very early age that you wanted to be a professional player, right?
Yeah. It was. It's no doubt about it, yeah.
So you're fulfilling your dream. I mean, does it seem real at times that you're, you know, you dreamed about this since you were a kid? Here you are. You're one step away from the big leagues.
Yeah, no. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little overwhelming knowing that you're here. You're one move, one phone call away from being in the bigs. You know, I was talking to my dad a couple of weeks ago saying that it's crazy. Like, you're in rookie ball, and then you look at all the levels you got to go through, and then now you're finally here one step away. So, I mean, it's been a long road, but, I mean, well worth it.
And is it good to talk to the guys currently here that have been up and down a little bit just to kind of get a taste of, you know, how you deal with that mentally? Because AAA is one of those things sometimes get up, you come down, you got to be ready for anything.
Yeah, no. I mean, the only thing I talk to them about is, like, that first outing that they have, that first start, because you have so many emotions, you know, going through your body. I mean, when you're a kid, you want to be a big leaguer, and then when that moment finally happens, you know, all those years in the minor leagues grinding and all those long bus rides, and then you're finally there. So it's, you know, it's one of those things you gotta, you know, control your emotions, do your job, but and at the same time take it all in. So.
All right. The last thing is, what's the best bus trip you ever took? I don't know. You know, were you singing on a bus? Were you watching a good movie? What's your best bus memory? Everybody seems to have one.
There is no such thing as a good bus memory. I've had a lot of bad bus memories. I remember it was 2 years ago. I was in Low A. And we were going from, Fort Wayne to Cedar Rapids. It was like an 8-hour bus ride, and about 20 minutes in, the air conditioning broke. So we had guys in boxers with no shirts. It was not fun. It was a pretty bad bus ride.
That's right-hander Derek Rodriguez, who was in Sacramento, now of course with the San Francisco Giants. Coming up, we'll hear from outfielder Austin Slater, who is playing for the Rivercats these days. That's when Inside China Basin continues on thesportsvirus.com. When it comes to Giants baseball, family memories are created one summer at a time. And the same can be said for your family vacation. How about an experience you will never forget? Shasta Lake is one of the most beautiful places to visit in California. And there is no better way to experience it than to rent a houseboat from houseboats.com. Jones Valley and Silverthorne Resorts are located on the Pitt River arm of Shasta Lake, unquestionably the very best area of Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there with rentals ranging from the finest and largest houseboats available for rent in California to entry-level models for small groups or those new to houseboating. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Let's get that vacation planned. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Now let's get to the conversation with Austin Slater. Welcome back to Raley Field, joined by Austin Slater, outfielder with the Rivercats. First of all, Austin, you were number 13. Turn around, show this number 13
all right,
here.
All right.
Yeah, so that means you're not superstitious. How did that start, number 13? Were you a big A-Rod fan, or what was the deal?
No, I was born on the 13th. My mom was as well, and it's kind of always been my number growing up, that or 17, you know, 13 jersey sizes don't always fit, so on the travel ball and high school field, so 13 and 17 have always been my numbers.
Well, certainly lucky this year. I mean, you're hitting the ball so well, not only here, when you had that brief stint with the Giants, you were smacking it around as well. So what's gotten into you this year? What's really working well?
You know, I'm experimenting with a leg kick a lot recently, and that's been helping me get into my legs a little more, generate a little more power, I think. You know, it's not really showing in the home runs, but I feel like I'm driving the ball around the field pretty well, and that's turned around the average and the doubles numbers.
Yeah, I was going to say, the doubles are up, the slugging percentage. So does it matter so much if you don't hit a bunch of home runs, if you can do that as far as bringing up the slugging?
Yeah, for me, it's just make hard contact, you know. You don't always get the right angle, you know, to get out of the park or, you know, the right conditions, but you can control barrels. You can barrel the ball as much as you can, and that'll turn into extra base hits.
Yeah, when you were with the Giants, you showed off some speed, too. You were stealing second base there. Is that something that you've been concentrating on, trying to get better jumps and all that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, kind of studying the game, making sure I realize what kind of pitchers I can run on, catchers, if they have any ticks or moves to indicate that they're going to the plate or going to first base. It's something that we talked a lot about in spring training, and when I was up there, guys like Gregor, McCutchen, they're always watching video to steal bases, not necessarily just for hitting. So that was something I was able to pick up there in the brief time I was there. That's helped, and I'm trying to translate it to my game now.
How much did it help last year getting that experience in the major leagues? And, you know, I know it was cut short because of injury, but what did you learn last year that you took into this year?
Yeah, that, you know, preparation is key and putting in hard work every day. I think I've said it before, but you see guys like Buster be the first guys in the clubhouse, and it sets an example and it sets the tone for what the younger guys should do. You know, that his greatness, it doesn't come by pure ability. It's something that he works at every day. You know, he's in there studying film, going over scouting reports, working on his swing, getting his body right, you know, and it's a full-time job.
It seems like when Buster's going well, or any hitter really, they're thinking up the middle the other way. How about for you? What are you thinking as far as your approach, and what does it manifest itself in when you're doing well?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty similar for me. You know, I wouldn't characterize myself or Buster as pure power hitters that are, you know, are trying to, you know, launch balls in the air and have these astronomical fly ball numbers. So, you know, to get on top of the baseball and hit the ball the other way translates into higher average and more hits, you know, and you take advantage of certain situations in certain spots to try to pull the ball, you know, either off speeds or, you know, your team's just committing to that inside fastball and you have to beat them there. So for the most part, that keeps you on off speed, you know, keeps your walks up and your strikeouts down, trying to go the other way.
Well, you said, you know, trying to hit on the top of the ball. There's so much emphasis on launch angle. How much do you take that into account? And also, do you look at a lot of analytics?
You know, I do, but, you know, you have to also understand what type of player you are. You know, you can look at all these analytics and, you know, they're helpful, but, you know, I might not be a Bryce Harper that's going to hit 35, 40 home runs a year, but, you know, I might hit 15, 20, 25. And hit a lot of doubles. So, you know, there's different approaches for different players, and you have to use the analytics smartly so that you don't try to do too much with what they're giving you.
Well, after all, you went to Stanford, so you're going to use things in a smart way, right? Yeah. I mean, what kind of advantage was it to come out of a school like that? I mean, you were surrounded by all these smart people on campus, and then even the baseball team. Everybody must have been very analytical about the way you were playing.
You know, analytics, I don't think, is coming to the college game much. You know, it'll be interesting to see if it does start to creep its way in.
I was going to say, what about playing in this lineup here, and especially right now, surrounded by Mac Williamson, Hunter Pence, you know, Chris Shaw is here. I mean, you guys are pretty loaded in your lineup.
Yeah, and it's been fun. You know, hitting's easier when the guys around you are hitting. So, you know, it's been a lot of fun, and, you know, we're just passing the bats along. You get more RBIs and more runs scored with the guys in the lineup. And, you know, it's fun to score runs, and it's fun to win. So it's great having these guys down and great to play with them. They bring awesome energy, and you know, we're having a lot of fun.
All right, the last thing, can you describe what it was like when you were kind of bouncing back and forth? I mean, that's got to be hard. Even though it's close, it's not that far from here to San Francisco, but you're told, okay, you're going to San Francisco. Okay, you're going back. It's just back and forth. I mean, it must have been pretty crazy.
Well, obviously, you know, it's not ideal. And, you know, I picture myself being up there for the long haul. But, you know, at this point, you know, we're trying to win ball games, and it's not going to take 25 guys. It's going to take 40 guys to win a championship. So understanding that, you know, I knew that going into spring training that would maybe be my role this year, is a swing man up and down until, you know, I totally prove myself to earn a job up there. So, you know, it always stings a little when you're going back down. You're thinking, all right, maybe this is it for the rest of the year. This is what we got. But, you know, you have to accept your role and move on. And there's no time to dwell and feel sorry for yourself because you got another game and tomorrow. So, you know, you don't want to prove them right by coming down here and not performing. So for me, it's keep the foot on the pedal and keep going.
That's Rivercats outfielder Austin Slater. I also had a chance to talk to the hitting coach in Sacramento, former Giant Damon Miner.
Damon, man, what a lineup you guys have this year. You guys are really producing. How much fun are you having?
Oh, you know, it's always fun when guys go out, and especially you guys that are getting ready for the big leagues to help the big clubs. So it's been good so far going through and making adjustments that they're doing in 3A, especially with the pitching here, to get ready for the big leagues.
Well, especially the outfielders, it's a pretty loaded group when you think about it. Mac Williamson was tearing it up, went up. Now he's back on rehab. But you have Steven Duggar, you got Chris Shaw, you got Austin Slater, and now you got Hunter Pence here on rehab as well. I mean, that's just so many guys that are able to swing the bat.
Yeah, you know, those guys, you know, they've been around, and you got some youth mixed in there with Duggar and Shaw. And, you know, Shaw had a little bit of experience last year, and then you got Mac coming in and really feeling his swing. And then you got Hunter Pence, that's a, you know, really good veteran that's won some World Series. So it's a good fit for everyone. You know, they're working to strive to get better and get back to the big leagues.
Well, Williamson and Pence both have adopted a new style now. Tell us about, you know, how you go through that, because I would think it's not easy to make an adjustment like that. You know, for Williamson, it was coming into the year. Pence just doing it here on the rehab assignment.
Right. You know, Mac had a whole offseason to readjust his swing, and it's, you know, he's really done well with it. It's helped him get some timing and be able to produce with the power that he has. So he's able to free up his swing and put an athletic guy with some timing, and it's really worked well for him. And then with Hunter, he's trying it kind of in the heat of the fire and trying to do it plain. So he's a great athlete, and when you do that with an athlete, he can make strides a lot quicker too.
Can you relate a lot to Shaw? I mean, you played in the major leagues for the Giants, big left-handed batter, hit the home runs, and you try to stay away from the strikeouts, but not always easy when you're a big guy like him with that kind of power.
Yeah, you know, with a bigger guy, he's going to be more apt to strike out a little bit, and that's just sort of power hitters do. But the one adjustment that he is learning to do, and, you know, all power hitters have to do, is that you can't get to your power up in the big leagues if you don't become a hitter. And that's what's good about Shaw, that he understands that, and he's going to try to go out there and be more of a hitter, and then the power will come.
Some guys it takes a while. I mean, it seems to me like Alan Hansen, it just clicked for him this year, and then he goes up to the Giants, and I mean, he carried it right there, and of course he got hurt, but you would think that this is kind of the year where it just, you know, everything was clicking.
Yeah, you know, you come over to a new organization, and then we're a winning organization, and coming out, and he wants to prove himself, and he's done a really good job here, and then when he goes up, and that's the goal, is these guys to go up and be able to help the big team win.
What do you tell them? Because, I mean, you were in that boat where you're in AAA. It's great when you get to the major leagues, but it's really tough when you come down. The mental part of that has got to be difficult to deal with.
Yeah, you know, the mental side of it is basically a lot more of it than physical. So be able to handle it and be able to transition with the guys, knowing what they're feeling and what they're going through, you know, going up and down from the big leagues and coming back here to work on things and then going up there hopefully to stay. So that's the main goal is for us, is to help the big club win and have them guys ready to compete up there and stay.
Everybody remembers their first game. I mean, you were telling me about your first homer hitting the foul pole at AT&T Park. How'd you get that baseball?
Yeah, you know, that was kind of one of those things that it, you know, battling, got 3-2, and unfortunately, it was able to keep it fair and not hook it and hit top of foul pole and bounced off and came back onto the field. So it was a good feeling. It took a few at bats, but once you get that first one, you don't forget.
And before I let you go, I got to know your brother a little bit, Ryan, in Rochester. He was in the Orioles organization. Of course, the answer to that trivia question, who replaced Cal Ripken when he sat down and ended the streak? It was Ryan Miner, your brother. What was it like growing up together playing sports? I mean, you guys were not only baseball, but basketball as well.
Yeah, we kind of fed off each other, being twin brothers and going out, and we always competed. And that's what kind of helped us be who we are and to be able to go out and handle things. And we always, you know, fought growing up and trying to outdo each other. And I was fortunate enough to actually see that game when he replaced Cal Ripken. I was playing in a fall league out there, so it was a really good experience. And he'll always be known.
I think he looked at the lineup card I heard and said, wait a minute, where's Ripken's name? My name's in there?
It was actually about 10 minutes before the game. So when he found out, so that he wasn't able to get any shock. So he went out and played, and it was a good moment for him.
All right. Hey, Damon, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck with the Rivercats.
Debbie, thank you for having me.
That's former Giants first baseman and now Rivercats hitting coach Damon Miner. Let's hear what Johnny Dosko, the play-by-play announcer of the Rivercats, had to say when I talked to him recently in Sacramento.
All right, we're here with Johnny Dosko, the play-by-play announcer for the Rivercats. 18 years, we were just talking about it. Your 18th season, it goes by fast, doesn't it?
It goes by very quickly. 18 years in Sacramento, 21 years in AAA, and 26 years of professional baseball. So I'm definitely on the fast track.
Yeah. Well, you've seen it all. I mean, you could look out there. We were looking out at the PCL championships that the Oakland A's had when they were affiliated here. So what's it been like having the Giants here?
It's been great. You know, it's the fourth year with the Giants and getting all the Giants people. They've been fantastic and getting all the guys. It's been good. And, you know, look, you know, it's a good feeling seeing these guys go up from here to the big leagues. As you know, calling AAA all those years, it's a good feeling. And the product on the field has been good. You know, have they won the championships that Sacramento did when they were the A's? No. But it's still been fun to see these guys go up. And when you see a rehabber come down, when you see a Madison Bumgarner, and we saw Matt Cain and Joe Panic and Hunter Pence, when these guys come down, it's a thrill for these fans. They love it.
Well, Bumgarner's scheduled a pitch on Saturday. I would think that's going to be fun for you. Mark Melanson's already here. Like you said, Pence. Do you get a little extra energy as a broadcaster when those guys are out there in the rehab?
Yeah, it's great, especially Bumgarner. When he was here last time and he came off the field and came up off to that ovation, it put chills down your spine. It really did, just to see how much they appreciated what he's done for the Giants. And, you know, you look around the stands here and you see a lot of orange and black. You know, there was, you know, green and gold here with the A's here, but there's a lot of orange and black here every night, you know. But when you get those rehabbers come down and see Bumgarner here and the crowd going crazy, it's pretty good feeling.
You know, people talk about how the Giants need some depth in the outfield. And, man, they got some depth here as far as outfielders. I mean, it seems like every night you've got a different guy who's producing big-time offense.
Yeah, it is. And you look at the future, it's bright. I mean, you see the Austin Slaters and the Chris Shaws and the Steven Duggars and that catch he made the other day. And, of course, Mac Williamson and what he's done up there and what he will do up there. It's a thrill for these fans. I mean, the prospects used to be always at Double A, and now you see a lot of the prospects coming up to Triple A, and it's a thrill to watch these guys every day. And there'll be a time all four of those guys, I think the guys I mentioned, are gonna be in the big leagues with the Giants or somebody. Rivercat fans pretty fortunate to see these guys play.
It is amazing when you have a guy like Duggar who can cover ground in the outfield and can make a catch like you're talking about. What a difference it makes for the whole team when he can steal away a base hit.
It does. You know what? Whitey Herzog, not to compare Duggar to Ozzie Smith on the infield, but, you know, Whitey Herzog said he could hit .0001 and still be the most valuable player. With Duggar, he covers so much ground out there, and, you know, he takes away extra base hits, and he's just what a value. I mean, obviously he'd like to be swinging a hotter bat right now, but for what he does defensively, he's going to a valuable tool up there.
Because of pitching injuries, the Giants have had to dip down to Sacramento, and Andrew Suarez right now in the Giants rotation. Tyler Beede got a little bit of a chance, and Beede, he's kind of struggled this year. What do you think he needs to do to turn it around?
Yeah, struggled. I think maybe trying too hard, you know. And I always told him it's one of those funny things. I said, listen, I think it's a good thing when guys struggle at AAA. I think it's a good thing, you know, because you don't want your first struggle to be up at the big league level. You want to have those struggles at AAA and then work the kinks out and get up there. And he's trying to find it right now. Obviously, he's struggling, and Duggar's struggling offensively, and I think it's good for these guys. I kind of like it in a weird way when these guys struggle when they're prospects, because they have to find a way to figure it out, and then when they do figure it out, look out. So it's kind of fun.
It's amazing what Derek Rodriguez is doing, because he doesn't have a lot of pitching experience compared to others who pitched their whole life. He was a position player and became a pitcher, but he's really dealing.
How about going from a position player to the next year winning pitcher of the year in the Appy League? It's incredible. And he's just, yeah, he's got a young arm, and he is so much fun to watch. He's so determined, so confident. He's trying to make his own name, and he's, you know, he's great. You know, and he handles everything so well. You get so many questions about his dad, and I got to tell you, he handles it like a champ. He really does, and he's going to make a name for himself up there in this game for sure.
That's the voice of the Rivercats, Johnny Dosko. I want to thank him, Damon Miner, Austin Slater, and Derek Rodriguez for joining us here on thesportsvirus.com. Coming up on Tuesday, we'll be at AT&T Park in San Francisco as the Giants take on the Diamondbacks. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.